Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in college football full circle. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, right here on Sports Grid, Sirius Channel 159. Radio affiliates across the country, thanks for joining us. Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter at Drew Martin Betts. Let us know where you agree, where you disagree at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. All is welcome. As we got college football full circle here, guys, we're going to be looking ahead towards the national championship game, Washington Huskies, Michigan Wolverines from Houston, Texas, Monday night primetime game for who hoists the trophy here with the Pac-12 conference going at the Big Ten conference. Hey, they will both be in the Big Ten next season, but as it stands now, Conference of Champions versus Big Ten, Washington and Michigan. We'll also be recapping all the games from Monday, January 1st, starting with the semifinal games. But overall, Mark, college football season, we got one game left. What are your overall thoughts, kind of from a blimp's view of the 2023 college football season, my man?
Well, I mean, look, we got the best team in the country in the game in Michigan. I don't think anybody's debating that. So I think from that standpoint, you know, everyone should be happy, and you got a one of these classic matchups of a great offense versus a great defense. And I think you're going to get a really good game coming up here tomorrow night.
So do I. I can't wait to be breaking it down a little bit more in depth as the show goes on, as hey, it's the main event. We're not going to bury the lead too much, but we do got to recap some games here for Monday, January 1st. We'll start off with the semifinal games. It was from the Rose Bowl in a beautiful scene, I'll tell you. Just watching it on TV, it's a stadium I've been to for a national championship game. It was Auburn, Florida State back in 2013. One of those bucket lists. If you're able to do it out there, I do recommend it if your team is in the Rose Bowl. Or hey, if you're just wanting to catch kind of a beautiful setting for college football. But it was Alabama and Michigan. Michigan 14-0, Alabama now 12-2 on the season. As they go down 27-20, that was Big Blue on top, Big Ten knocking off the SEC here. Mark, J.J. McCarthy threw for 221 yards and 3 touchdowns in the win. It was Alabama on top, you know, heading into the fourth, into the second half anyway. They kind of could have had it, and Michigan came from behind and ended up winning in overtime as Alabama gets stopped inside the 5-yard line trying to tie it up there. But what were your overall thoughts from Pasadena?
Michigan beat themselves for 3 quarters. That's generally just what I believe. Like they literally, you know, made a bunch of mistakes and allowed Alabama to hang in a game. I mean, Michigan was the far superior team for 4 quarters in that game. And, you know, I think they came out a little bit nervous and, you know, it took them a little while to get their feet under them. But for the most part, you know, Michigan proved themselves to be far superior to Alabama. I mean, you know, I've sat on this show for weeks and talked about how I had a future on Alabama to win the whole title. And what did I do? Well, I bet heavy on Michigan because I knew that they were a much better team and they were in a better, you know, they were in a situation where, you know, they were the team I thought that was much more equipped to win the whole thing. So, I just watched that Michigan team should have had a much bigger lead throughout the game. And, you know, it didn't work out that way, but they hung on in the end and got the touchdown when they needed it.
Sure. Went into half 13-10, Michigan on top. Nobody scored in the third quarter. Then Alabama actually took the lead in the fourth quarter, and then they got the football back. So it was like one of those, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I felt like Michigan was the better team overall just watching the game, but there was a point in time in the fourth quarter where it was like Nick Saban, Alabama, we've seen him kind of, I don't know, the cookie crumbled their way in the past. I almost felt like, man, they were going to find a way to get this. Milrow, one thing I'll take away from Alabama and their game plan was in the first half, they were like throwing the ball, dropping back Jalen Milrow. He got sacked a bunch of times. He looked like he was seeing ghosts, you know, looking at the defensive linemen coming at him, and he would just back up. And playing quarterback, you know, in my earlier years, that's the one thing you don't want to do. You either want to go left or right or run or throw the football. You don't want to just kind of be trotting back. And he was doing that a lot in the first half. And then they changed it up and they went more kind of that read option. And sure enough, Milrow was running the football pretty well against the Michigan defense. I thought they should have been doing that the whole game, and it maybe would have looked a little bit different, more positively for the Crimson Tide. Hey, it turned out Milrow had a key fumble there in the fourth quarter. Michigan turned it into points. And then really it was Michigan the rest of the way there, Mark. They scored the touchdown quickly in the overtime and just played good defense down the stretch, holding them out of the end zone there. And that's how it finished. Michigan on top. So I'm with you. They got the number one seed and they deserved it.
You can tell that there was no way Michigan was going to throw the ball more than 5 yards downfield in the second half of that game. They just, everything was a wide receiver screen. Everything was a short pass. They were not going to risk having Jalen Milrow have to drop all the way back, wait 3 or 4 seconds, and then throw into that secondary. Like, it was readily obvious to me that they had given up the long passing game in the second half, knowing how much pressure that Michigan was able to bring. So Alabama certainly, you know, made themselves, I think, a little bit predictable, given what the Michigan defense was doing.
Yeah, they couldn't throw the ball down. That's not what Jalen Milrow does. I know a lot of people bring up, you know, that Iron Bowl and him throwing the football, you know, 30 yards, and it was a great pass. But that's, if you've been watching them all season, that's not where the Crimson Tide excelled. They excelled with having a really talented roster top to bottom, having better players than their opponent, and going toe-to-toe with Michigan. I thought talent level, it was there for the taking. It was just the kind of ability from Jalen Milrow is not what they were trying to do in the first half, and therefore it hurt the Crimson Tide. And J.J. McCarthy is a more polished passer, and I thought that was the difference in the game, Mark. I really do. They were able to move the ball, have a better-looking offense throughout the game.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, I think you give credit to Michigan's defense for really taking Alabama out of their game plan, you know, and making them one-dimensional to a certain extent. So that's what you're going to see in the national championship game. I mean, that's not a defense you want to go up against. It really isn't. It is something that's going to cause a lot of problems, I think, for Washington.
Absolutely. We're going to be breaking it down, guys, Washington and that Michigan defense, because that's going to be a big part of the handicap. Mark, last thing here, because we do have a short break before we get to recapping Texas and Washington on the other side. Seen a lot of people on social media after that game, the great scenery there in the Rose Bowl, saying every national championship should be played in the Rose Bowl. Any quick thoughts on that?
I don't care.
Doesn't matter to you.
I've never been, so I assume it's great, but I can genuinely tell you that, you know, wherever they play the game, it's going to be a good game.
And that will be in Houston Monday night, guys. Washington and Michigan, we'll be breaking it down here. But first, we're going to recap Texas, Washington, Liberty, Oregon, Wisconsin, LSU, and Iowa, Tennessee, all the bowl games from New Year's Day. He's Mark Zeno. I'm Drew Martin. Short break. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. College football full circle right here on Sports Grid, Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno here, breaking down the games from January 1st. We'll also take a look ahead here towards the national championship Monday night. Washington Huskies, Michigan Wolverines, set to be a big-time matchup for all the marbles who hoist the trophy here. As Texas and Washington will be the next game that we are recapping from this past week. It was the other semifinal game, All-State Sugar Bowl from the Big Easy, New Orleans, Louisiana. It was the Washington Huskies winning outright as the underdog. They beat Texas, the Longhorns, 37-31. They had the lead going into the fourth quarter and were able to hold on. Michael Penix and company throwing the football all around the field. Man, he had some touch on that ball. He was throwing dimes all over the field there in New Orleans. Mark, I'll throw it over to you for your thoughts. Michael Penix throwing for 430 yards and two touchdowns, and they were able to knock off the Texas Longhorns as the underdog. What did you take away from the Big Easy New Year's Day night?
You know, I didn't step in front of Washington this time because they are a good team. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They weren't also laying double digits like they were for the better part of the second half of the regular season. So they were catching 4.5 here, which felt like a little bit of a too big of a number, but it was Texas, and there's a reason why, you know, that team sort of gets the public love that they do. All that said, I mean, look, the thing is that Washington is going to see a whole new level of defense that Texas doesn't bring. I was surprised in the game that Texas' defense did not play better, especially early on. Like, that was probably, next to Oregon, the toughest defense they faced all year long, and they didn't play like it. Or at least statistically going into the game, it was the toughest defense they faced all year long. And I think that's really what cost Texas the game, their inability to get Washington off the field at any point in time.
Yeah, I think some of the credit needs to be, you know, point towards Michael Penix. I mean, watching the football game, as accurate as he was down the field, I mean, they got the lead going into the fourth quarter. It was kind of comfortable at some points. You know, I was kind of surprised that they were up by as much as they were, still able to hold off Texas. And to tell you the truth, that score in that game was a lot closer than it really played out. I mean, Texas almost came back and won the game, guys, because Washington had some unfortunate plays there late in the fourth quarter to give Texas the football. They did end up driving down the field. Didn't work out for him. But again, Michael Penix, 430 yards. They did see Baxter for Texas rush for 64. That was a game high. And a doozy for the wide receiver for Washington. He caught 125 yards passing. And I'll tell you, Mark, you know, watching Michael Penix play really the last couple weeks against Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game, and then here in the semifinal game against Texas. I mean, if you're an NFL GM, where's he ranking on your board? How long do you think he stays in the NFL draft? Because to tell you the truth, in my opinion, I can't think of many quarterbacks at the college football level that are that accurate throwing the deep ball, which is a very important part of playing quarterback in the NFL. Where do you think he goes? Any idea here in the upcoming NFL draft?
I mean, I would think in the top 15. I mean, the entire NFL is so quarterback starved right now, it's ridiculous. So every quarterback is going to get overdrafted. I think the better question is who goes in front of him versus who should he go in front of, right? Like Caleb Williams and Drake may end up going in front of Michael Penix. Michael Penix may end up being the better pro. I think that's probably a better way to phrase that question.
Okay. I mean, I personally would put Michael Penix ahead of Caleb Williams. That's just from what I've seen of both of these two guys and finding a way, a will to win, which I think is part of my evaluation anyway. Drake May, I don't know. I would still probably go with Michael Penix. I mean, big time matchups, and as well as he's played, I know he's got some injury issues, you know, both knees, I believe, or at least two separate, ACLs. I don't know. He's got his team 14-0, 25-2 the last 2 years. Give me Michael Penix if I'm an NFL GM. Hey, who knows? Maybe even number one overall. Mark, moving down the list here, we have three more games on New Year's Day. We'll hit quickly here, guys. It was the Verbo Fiesta Bowl, and that was Liberty, the Flames, up against the Oregon Ducks. And this was a blowout, the biggest blowout of the day, as the Pac-12 Conference of Champions wins this one 45-6 over Liberty. Liberty scores 6 points in the first quarter and then gets blanked the rest of the way. Bo Nix, another guy, you know, NFL aspirations. I don't know if he'll go as high as Michael Penix, but 363 yards and 5 touchdowns. Bo Nix making the move from Auburn to Oregon, and it worked out well for him. His just kind of his athletic ability, it works better in the Pac-12 than it does against SEC defenses. We've seen it for the last couple of years now, and that Oregon offense was really bringing the heat. I thought that it really came down to if Oregon gives their A game, this isn't going to be close, because the Conference USA, what Liberty plays in, yes, they did go 13-0. That is impressive. However, Mark, when you're making this step up in talent level, it usually doesn't work out that well, and it didn't work out for the Flames here. 45-6, Oregon rolls. They cover as big favorites. Did you take anything away from the Fiesta Bowl?
Speaking of going pro, is Bo Nix actually leaving college finally ever? Is that yeah, finally happening?
Yeah, I think he's out of eligibility.
I don't know, he's been there forever. College being wilder, but in the football version, for crying out loud. Anyway, no, you're right. Look, I mean, Dan Lanning and Oregon are at the point, you know, that program is at the point where they're still taking this bowl game stuff seriously, right? And they have to. Until they get over the hump and start winning championships, was the Pac-12, but until they start winning conference championships and going to the college football playoff, then, you know, a young coach in his second year at the program needs to go out there and show out every opportunity for recruiting and everything else. You know, Oregon loses that game to Liberty in a bowl game. Yeah, there's going to be some kids who are going to go, do I really kind of want to go play there? They lost to Liberty, right? Like, I mean, that stuff all matters. I think it all plays into it one way or another. So I wasn't shocked by this outcome. It was a game I wasn't going to touch because, you know, there's still that old idea that, you know, they could have just kind of laid down a little bit and not really given a rip. You don't really know until they start playing the game. So, you know, when Oregon ends up in the Big Ten next year, or what conference are they going to? Big Ten? Pact? Where are they going? I can't even remember. I can't keep up with it. Yeah.
Big Ten.
You know, and they're playing against legitimate competition on a weekend. Well, I shouldn't say that because the Pac-12 was great this year. But I say all this to say my point is just simply that, you know, Oregon's still got a lot to prove.
Well, you bring up the Big Ten move. I mean, we get UCLA, USC, Oregon, and Washington all making the move from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten here. Mark, what are your overall thoughts, man? I mean, do you have any early handicapping thoughts on how these teams will make the transition? Do you have them kind of looking to fade them? Or do you think they're going to come in and be scoring all kinds of points? And, hey, whatever. It's not going to be that big of a change.
All that really matters is how they fare against Michigan and Ohio State, right? And Penn State to a certain extent. When they play those three teams, you'll find out really how good they really are. And at the end of the day, it's going to be a very interesting year of transition because if Jim Harbaugh leaves Michigan and Ohio State really is going to go with the quarterback situation that they're going to go with, and they're going to have no Marvin Harrison, they may be vulnerable as well. So it could be ripe for the picking for Oregon and USC and Washington to and even UCLA to take advantage.
I'm picking up what you're laying down. Like the top heaviness of the Big Ten might not be that toppy next year. So right. It could actually be a good entry year for some of these Pac-12 teams. Hey, we're going to get a glimpse of it in the national championship. Washington, one of the teams making the move up against Michigan here with Jim Harbaugh in company. Hey, we'll get into more digging deep into that one. National championship game Monday night coming up. We'll also recap two more bowl games here. Mark Zeno, Drew Martin, short break. We'll be right back. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. College football full circle right here on Sports Grid, Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, breaking down the games from New Year's Day and then taking a look here towards the national championship, giving out our best bets and deep diving into the matchups on the field from Houston, Texas for the national championship. But Mark, next game up, Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country, Wisconsin and LSU. This one went off the Request Bowl. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. 35-31. It was LSU on top here, Mark, as the winners. SEC, Big Ten, always a good matchup. And it was backup quarterback for LSU. It didn't matter. Nussmeier, 395 yards, 3 touchdowns in the win. What'd you take away from Go Tigers over the Badgers?
It was a game that was much more competitive than I thought it was going to be from a Wisconsin standpoint. I know that obviously LSU didn't have their full complement at quarterback and anything else, but you give some credit to Wisconsin. Their offense, you know, I guess LSU's defense can make any offense look good. I guess that's the biggest takeaway. That was more of what I was, you know, looking at.
Yeah, it's been a rough year defensively for LSU. We'll see if they can turn it around. Actually, looking at the recruiting rankings, LSU looks to be getting some top players there to Baton Rouge. But Nussmeier throwing for just short of 400 yards in the win. So LSU takes it. And we got one more bowl game before getting to the national championship here. It was also the Big Ten versus the SEC, and this one was not as close. This is the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl from Orlando, Florida, Camping World Stadium. It was Tennessee on top of Iowa. Iowa, 0 points scored. We know that offense is at a tough time this season. Tennessee puts up 35. Did you take anything away from Central Florida here with 35-0 Tennessee on top of Iowa?
Iowa's offense stinks. That's not a revelation. you know, Iowa. Look, I'm glad they won over 7.5 games because I took them at the beginning of the year to win over 7.5 games. That said, they're not a serious college football program right now with what they do on offense. You can't really take them seriously. They don't deserve to be taken seriously because that offense is disgusting. Their high school offense is better than that.
Sure. I mean, it's tough to argue. They had a tough offensive season all year long, but still able to get the 10 wins. Got to tip your cap in some way. They are well coached on the defensive side. We've seen it for multiple years now. It's almost like one of those things. They got to just revamp the offense. You know, keep everything the same, and let's bring in a new system. Let's recruit a little bit differently offensively to Iowa City there and see if they can kind of shake it up in the Big Ten. They have won the Big Ten in the past. It's been years, if not decades now. We'll see if they can kind of change it up next season. Jalen Daniels, I go back to this Wisconsin-LSU game, Mark, and him not being in and Nussmeier throwing for near 400 yards, seeing Michael Penix against Oregon, against Texas in the semifinals. I almost wish they should do the Heisman Trophy after the national championship game. And this year might be a prime example of why. I think we would have a different Heisman Trophy winner. I think Michael Penix would win the trophy over Jalen Daniels. I guess that's my bold take for the show. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, look, it's a regular season award. Not everybody's going to get a chance to go to the national championship. So it's a game that's not unevens the playing field. If Jalen Daniels had a chance to go play in the college football playoff against Texas, could he have put up 37 points? Probably. Could they have given up 50? Yeah, probably. But, you know, I mean, the point simply is you can't do that just because you have to base it off the same sample size of games, and that's the 12 games during the regular season.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I didn't realize it's only a regular season award, but I've just thought that for years, you know, letting it play out a little bit, making these maybe bowl games matter a little bit more, because let's face it, the Heisman Trophy is kind of like, in terms of personal awards in American sports, it's probably the most, you know, sought after fraternity, the most sought after trophy, if you will, and to hand it out early. I've always been a proponent of doing it a little bit later, like that Vince Young, Reggie Bush year, if you remember, when Texas, you know, the confetti coming down, he runs in for the championship. That year would have probably been different too. You know, Reggie Bush winning the Heisman, instead it would have probably been Vince Young. I think this is another year where that would have happened. But guys, hey, we got another 30 minutes here of college football full circle. And you know what we got coming your way? Monday night, the national championship game here. Washington Huskies and Michigan Wolverines. We are now seeing the line. Michigan, -4.5. There are -5s out there. 56.5 being the total. 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. We are seeing 5.5 here. Minus 192 on the money line for Michigan as the favorite. 56.5 again being the total from Houston, Texas. That is where the Texans play their home games. Pac-12, Big Ten for the national championship here, Mark. What are your overall thoughts, man, going into the national championship game?
I mean, I jumped in early and took Michigan. So I think they're the right side. When you have a great defense versus a great offense, I'll always choose the great defense. The biggest question for Michigan, the biggest issue they're going to have is, can they get Michael Penix Jr. on the ground, right? Because you know they're going to get there. You know they're going to have a pass rush that's going to get there. But Michael Penix has been one of the hardest quarterbacks to sack in the country. The sack percentage of his is, I think, top five, or in terms of lowest, top five lowest in the nation. So if he's able to extend plays with his legs, if he's able to, you know, make the defense break down because he's running around back there, yeah, he absolutely could keep it alive here. But, you know, Michigan has two things in their back pocket. One, they can run the ball and keep him off the field. And two, Washington's defense, their pass defense, is bottom, 10 in the country? They're like 120th in the nation against the most accurate passer in college football, and J.J. McCarthy. That seems like a bad recipe for Washington.
Okay. Guys, I'm going to be on the other side of Mark, and a couple reasons why with my breakdown. Yeah, Michigan, number one scoring and number one total defense in the country. In my opinion, they're deserving of the number one seed and the number one ranking in the country. However, getting into this matchup handicap, what's going to happen on the turf, if you will, if you were going to build an offense piece by piece, brick by brick, if you will, considering Michigan's potent defensive front, I would start with an elite passer behind a solid offensive line and NFL wide receivers on the outside. Washington checks all of those boxes. We get Michael Penix. He's the best down the field thrower of the football in college football that I can remember. They got the Joe Moore Award winning offensive line, meaning the best offensive line in college football. And they have their top three wide receivers on the outside are all going to get looks to catch passes in the NFL. So I think building an offense to go up against this defense, this is Washington, a prime example of who can excel. And then you look at the coaching aspect being a big game. Most people would look towards Jim Harbaugh with the coaching advantage. And it's tough to argue with Harbaugh's name recognition, his success with Big Blue, you know, winning the Big Ten multiple times in a row here. He's been so good in Ann Arbor that his agent is not denying that he's talking with NFL front offices for an NFL head coaching job next year. I don't think that's really good for the preparation aspect going into the national championship game. And I think Kalen DeBoer, the Washington head coach, is being underrated coming into this game. He's a former high school football head coach. He's worked his way up, grinded his way up, all the way through the coaching ranks. He's won everywhere he's gone. Everywhere he's touched has been a winning program. 25-2 at Washington straight up. 25 wins, 2 losses. And oh, by the way, in these 2 years being the head coach at Washington, they've gone off as the underdog 5 times. Guess what the Huskies have done? 5-0, both straight up and against the spread. If you bet $100 on Washington money line as the underdog, you'd be up $1,000 in those 5 games. They've been getting plus prices each of the last two games against Texas and against Oregon, won them both outright. I think it happens again. It's storybook Disney fashion here, guys. Storybook, exactly what Disney wants. It's on ESPN. I think the Conference of Champions in the last game as we know it for this conference, they win the national championship. They host the trophy. Last thing here, guys, it makes for a good 30 for 30 episode. We're ending the conference as we know it, and they win the national championship, and their nickname is the Conference of Champions. That's going to be a 30 for 30 episode I watch in a couple years. I think Washington makes it done. They win the national championship. Bet Washington plus the points here, plus 5.5, plus 158 on the money line. Mark, any quick thoughts here before we head to break?
Well, Drew, if you want to make your pitch for writing a Disney movie, then you'll have a good shot there. So I don't believe that to be the case, but I believe more of the Disney movie reads Jim Harbaugh wins a national title at Michigan and walks off into the sunset back to the NFL.
All right. We'll see how it plays out here. Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, a great game on Monday night, guys. And we got some prop bets we're getting down on for the national championship game. We'll hit those on the other side. Washington, Michigan, primetime Monday night for the national championship. He's Mark Zeno, at Mark Zeno on Twitter. I'm on Twitter, at Drew Martin Betts, at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. Stick with us, guys. Short break. Be right back. SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. College football full circle, getting you ready for the national championship game right here on Sports Grid, Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, Washington Huskies, Michigan Wolverines, Monday night coming your way. Mark, we got some prop bets we wanted to throw out there, and I know that you have one for J.J. McCarthy, man, so I'll throw it over to you. What are you looking to pounce on here?
Yeah, I mean, look, his passing yards prop of 209.5 to me, like, this is one of the worst pass defenses in the country, as I told you a moment ago. If he doesn't exceed this number, things have gone completely sideways for Michigan offensively. Either that or Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards each have, like, 250 yards rushing. Like, that's all I can come up with. But I don't know a game script. And even if Michigan ends up trailing, why wouldn't they throw more? Like, there's no reason for him not to be able to get over 209 yards against this pass defense. I know Michigan can run the ball and everything else, but he went over this against Alabama, and Alabama has a better pass defense than Washington does. So what's the reason for me to believe he's not going over this number again?
To play devil's advocate, they are able to run the football better against Washington than they were against Alabama, and they have a lead the whole game. I'm not saying I'm betting the other side. I'm just playing devil's advocate here on he might not get to 200.
I mean, as somebody who's bet on Michigan and laid the points, if they have a lead the whole game and I lose my J.J. McCarthy prop, I won't be that upset because I don't dip heavy into the prop market. So I'd rather Michigan come out on the right side of this thing. But all that said, yeah, I don't see why both of them wouldn't happen. At some point, they're going to have to use the passing game to advance the ball down the field, right? Like, it's just, you know, if he somehow stays under this thing, it's like you said, because it's one of those games that they played against, you know, Indiana earlier in the year where they ran for 380 yards and they just never had to throw because you couldn't stop them. I just don't see that game script unfolding, right? Like, Washington is too good and too professional, and they'll put up enough points where the pace, I think, will be where it is. Like, and I said this too about the game too in general, Drew. You know how typically, like, you know, when you bet an over, right, you're aligning it with the favorite. When you bet an under, you're aligning it with the dog, right? And normally that's the way you think. When it comes to Michigan, though, you think about unders because they don't allow the other team to score. However, I would tell you that if I'm Michigan, I want this game to go over the total because that means that they are getting close to 30, right? That Michigan is getting close to 30 points in this game. I don't want to be in a situation against Washington with Michael Penix where it's a one-score game late, right? And I'm only up by a one score, and something weird could happen, and Washington could end up with a chance to go down and score and take the lead late and win the game. That's not the game script I want if I'm Michigan. It's like you said, Michigan wants to get up by two scores and then just use their offense and their ground game to grind the game down. But I think they're going to have to continue to score because I think Washington will be able to score points.
It all makes sense. And if part of the handicap for sure is how Washington's doing offensively, because if Michigan's really shutting down Washington, then, you know, that might make the risk reward of throwing the football a lot for the Wolverines that much more in question. So, no, all good points. And what, it's 209.5, Mark? Is that the number you got?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And it just, if you know off the top of your head, if not, is that like about what it would be like throughout the season for him? Or is that, I'm guessing that's a little bit higher. I mean, being the marquee game that this is, But would that be like a prop that you would think throughout the course of the regular season in the first semifinal game, or is that a notch up?
Wait, say that again.
Like, is 209.5 pretty much what he's done throughout the regular season in the first semifinal game?
I haven't even studied what he's done throughout the year. I just, looking at this Washington defense in the game script, I would think he would have to go over this just against that bad of a pass defense.
Sure. It all makes sense. So 209.5, guys, JJ McCarthy, Mark liking it towards the over. Look, guys, for my best prop bet here, let me get the correct number for you, because I'm really liking this one. All right, let me set it up for you. In the Super Bowl, right, what have we seen a lot? First quarter unders. We've seen a lot of first drive punts. It's a huge game, a lot of fanfare behind it, and I think that it affects the offense more than the defense, because offense is more timing-based, more rhythm-based, and you got to be on the same page. With the extra fanfare before, the national anthem, the big time kind of nerves running through your system, it affects offense more than defense. Defense being reactionary, offense more rhythm based. So what I'm getting at is Michigan's first drive being a punt. It's +120. Risk 100 to win 120 if they punt rather than kick a field goal or score a touchdown. Now let me break it down a little bit more in depth. Yes, that all has to do with it. Big time atmosphere, the kind of rhythm being thrown off, the timing, if you will. But then digging into it a little bit deeper here, we're looking at Michigan, and they have in their last, five games, they have punted on their first drive, four of them. In their last game against Alabama in the semifinal, they punted on their first drive, 3-and-out. And against Iowa, that was the one time they went down and scored a field goal on a 13-play drive. Against Ohio State, the last game of the regular season, first drive, punt. Against Maryland, second-to-last game of the regular season, first drive, punt. Against Penn State, the third-to-last game of the regular season, guess what they did on their first drive? Punt. Guys, first drive, national championship game, for those two reasons in particular, I think we get a punt from Michigan on their first drive, +120 as the underdog. I would hurry up and bet it, because I don't think that number is going to last long once people do their research on this. For the last five being punt, national championship game, kind of the rhythm being thrown off. Give me a punt, Mark Zeno, +120 for Michigan on their first drive.
Hey, listen, it happened against Alabama, so no reason not to think it wouldn't happen here. I don't hate it.
All right, guys, two prop bets for you. And not necessarily fully against each other, with Mark liking Michigan and the over with JJ McCarthy. Those two could still hit and they could still punt on their first drive. Michigan hasn't lost the game all season long. For their first five first drives have all punted. So I think it's not necessarily like opposite correlation there. There is still the possibility for both of those outcomes to happen. So two prop bets for you. We gave you our picks, sides in this game. What are your overall thoughts of Jim Harbaugh, Kalen DeBoer here, the coaching matchup, Mark Zeno? Who do you think has the advantage, and do you think it's a sizable advantage either way?
I mean, Jim Harbaugh is one of the best coaches in America. I don't think that's debatable. But Kalen DeBoer had to do different things at a different program at a different school. I mean, you know, if we're talking about X's and O's, I don't think there's any question that Jim Harbaugh has the advantage. But being a college football coach, you know, there's a lot more that goes into it than just, you know, calling the actual game to a certain extent. So these guys have been presented with different challenges when it comes to building the program. That said, in a one-game matchup, I'd probably take Jim Harbaugh over Kalen DeBoer.
And Michael Penix against J.J. McCarthy, would you give the sizable advantage to Penix, or do you actually think J.J. McCarthy's a little bit underrated here in the markets overall?
Penix is a better quarterback. It's just the system that McCarthy plays in, and what they ask him to do allows him to be very accurate. He completed 74% of his passes this year. Like, this isn't rocket science, right? Like, I mean, he's very smart. He's not turning the ball over, and he throws high percentage passes that are pretty much completed three quarters of the time. That's a good recipe to help win football games. So, you know, I don't think it's a question of who's the more talented quarterback. It's Michael Penix Jr., but they clearly have different skill sets and do different things.
That they do, for sure. And two totally different offenses as well. Washington, you know, a little bit more spread out, throw it around. And Michigan going to kind of pound it down your throat, so to speak, and just kind of play quarterback tosses off of that. So, hey, big-time matchup here. One of the biggest games I can remember off the top of my head. Two 14-0 teams going at it. Both conference champions, number one versus number two. You know, even going into the semifinal games, guys. So, this is going to be a big one. Monday night from Houston, Texas. Any kind of thoughts here on the atmosphere of the game, Mark? I mean, a controlled climate, fast track where the Texans play their home games. I would imagine there's going to be more Wolverine faithful just because their brand, the university, I guess we could say proximity, you know, Washington being there in the Pacific Northwest. Do you think that has any factor on the outcome of this game? Do you think it affects the gameplay at all?
The officiating?
That too.
I mean, I think the game is going to styles make fights, right? And I think that's ultimately what's going to win out here. Michigan plays their style of game; they're going to win. If they end up having to get in a track meet with Washington, they're going to lose. I mean, that's just what it boils down to. I don't think anything else really is going to decide this game.
All right, guys. So I don't think the actual, you know, how many fans are in the seats. I think that gets kind of overplayed at times in college, in the NFL more so than college, but let's face it. This is as close to college football or as close to the NFL as college football gets. Right. So I happen to be of the belief, like, a road team mainly is at a disadvantage because of travel, because of timing, right? Like, if you're playing a Thursday night game in college football, and you have the short week to prepare, and you're on the road playing in a tough environment. Yes, the tough environment is not necessarily a good thing, but I think it affects the road team more because they have less preparation time. They have less practices. They're spending their time traveling on a plane, going from hotel, on the bus, the whole kind of shebang that comes behind that. So this being in a neutral site game, even though Michigan is going to have more fans, likely, I don't know for sure, but just kind of from watching these two programs in the past and how prominent Michigan is, Big Blue, it's been a while since they've been there, as it has been for Washington, but the longer distance travel, I kind of think that the more fans in the seats has less of an impact, I guess I would say, on the outcome of the game, particularly because it's a neutral site game. I will say this, it being in Houston, Texas, we don't have to worry about the weather. You know, it's a dome. So that aspect, I think, actually helps Washington. They're looking to throw the ball more. They're looking to have more of a wide open offense, hit more big plays. And it's on a fast track, meaning it's on turf. It's not a, you know, where the home team would know they're up against a disadvantage and kind of not cut the grass for 2 weeks. We've seen that stuff happen in college football. Slow down the team. We don't have to worry about that either. I think that's a little tick up for an advantage for Washington, for the Huskies, the dog that is barking, in my opinion. Washington plus the points. That's the way I'm looking to bet it. However, it looks like Mark on the other side on Michigan. Prop bets as well. We'll recap it one more segment here, guys, in college football full circle, pro football full circle, up shortly as well. Don't go anywhere. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in college football full circle right here on Sports Grid, Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno here with Pro Football Full Circle coming up in the next segment. Sirius Channel 159 listeners, thanks for tuning in. Radio affiliates across the country as well. Mark, quick segment here, kind of recaps, if you will. National championship, final thoughts, my man, and what are you looking to bet here in Houston, Texas for the national championship?
Yeah, I mean, again, I'll take Michigan and lay the points. There's a reason why they're this big of a favorite by more than a field goal in this game, and that should tell you all you need to know, much similar to when Georgia was a six-point favorite over Alabama, and they were, what, an 8 or 9 point, 10 point favorite over TCU? Because they're just that much better. I think when odds makers set lines like these in big college games, they're more right than wrong. And Michigan, I honestly don't think the spread's going to matter, Drew. I think Michigan wins this thing by margin or Washington wins outright. And people get mad when I say that. But, you know, I would find it hard to believe a game develops where Michigan ends up kicking a field goal to win by two. Right? Like that just, you know, that's not a game script I could see developing. So when I say the spread, I think Michigan wins this by a touchdown or more, or Washington wins outright.
Yeah, one of the more interesting stats I can remember, the BCS days, if you remember, guys. I think it went for like, I don't know, 9, 12 years, something like that. The spread never mattered in the national championship game until the last one, when Auburn stayed within the number against Florida State. But all the rest of them, the favorite either won by more than the point spread or the underdog won outright. That's something to be said for Mark's kind of analysis there, guys. For my two bets on the national championship game, hey, for you quick guys, rip off the Band-Aid. Michigan first drive being a punt for their last five games. They punted on their first drive, plus 120, $100 to win 120. Michigan punts on their first drive, plus the national championship. The timing gets thrown off on offense. And give me the Huskies, plus the points. Conference of Champions wins it in their last game as we know it. Mark Zeno, Drew Martin will be back for Pro Football Full Circle next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.